pass.
Just throw them in the washing machine every now and then.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order.
Sell it back.
Kyle, would you please call the roll?
Okay. You have your stuff here too.
I don't want to be a hard guy, but sit down, will you?
Sorry.
Representative Martinson.
Yep.
Representative Mock.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Here.
Representative Striley.
Here.
Representative Thorson.
Here.
Representative Toman.
Yep.
Senator Burkhart, absent. Senator Casper. Senator Casper, can you hear me?
Can I hear?
Oh, I can, here.
Okay. Senator Eberly.
Here.
Senator Robinson.
Aye.
All present except for one.
Okay, everybody, my comments to open this meeting will be very brief. Mainly, I just want to thank the IT staff. I think we are very, very fortunate to have the people that we have in IT, and you guys, all of you do a fantastic job, and I appreciate all the work you always do, particularly the dumb questions that you answer for me. So, Kyle, take her away.
Okay, can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, I'm Kyle Forster, I'm the IT manager. First of all, I want to apologize. For some reason, I got a cold this week, and so if you have trouble, if my throat starts acting up, I don't know what we'll do. We'll keep going. Adding to what Representative Martinson said, basically what we're here to do today is we're going to have a presentation on computer equipment to replace your current equipment, which is essentially just about at end of life. You have that laptop, HP 8760W, that goes end of life mid-April. They'll be 4 years old. And we have 4 year next business day warranty on those, and that's when that'll expire. So we're just in time to replace our hardware. The goal of the group is to come up with a recommendation that we can take to legislative procedures and arrangements for approval. And then once we have approval, and then we'll start the process of refreshing the equipment for all the legislators. So I got an agenda here today. Basically, I got a presentation. Depending on how fast we get through things and how many questions there are, we may take a break and continue right before lunch. And then after lunch or sometime, the next step would be to allow you to get a hands-on with the equipment that we are presenting here today. And then also look at what the budget information is that was budgeted for replacement. And then look at the quotes that we received for the equipment that we're presenting and discuss and see what options you guys are interested in and see what recommendation you guys would like to do as a work group. So the LPA meeting, in case you haven't heard, for next week, March 3rd, that was canceled. Representative Carlson was unavailable to attend, so that has been rescheduled for March 8th. Our current equipment, basically, again, we have this 17.3-inch HP laptop. It weighs 8.3 pounds. It has got a good heft to it. We did have a lot of comments from legislators on that. It does have the full HD screen. Full HD is 1920 by 1080. And again, we're at end of life coming up in April, 4 years, so we're just at time for renewal. The laptop, or the iPad that you all have, is a third generation iPad. And on the table here for presentation purposes, we placed an iPad Air 2, which is the current version. Rumor is that there will probably be a new iPad Air 3 released in March. We don't know. Apple's very secretive about those things. But it's been 18 months since they've refreshed, so if it's not in March, it's going to be soon. So the iPads that you have are a 32 gig cellular Verizon iPad, and they do have the retina display, which is current even on the latest model. Some of the requirements that we looked at for laptops, basically we wanted a laptop that can endure a four-year life. Basically, that's fairly standard in state government and the industry to try and get 4 years out of a business device. And the other part is we want business class computers as opposed to a consumer class computer, and I'll talk about that on the next slide. We want a 4 year next business day warranty, so if we do have a hardware problem, HP is the product line that we're looking at here. Basically, they maintain supply inventory of parts for the life of their contracts for their equipment, so getting parts is never a problem. They also include accidental damage coverage, and we've had to use that in the past where we've had a couple of serious water damage on a couple of legislator laptops. We had one that was dropped that had significant damage. One of the things that we look at as a requirement also, when you're sitting in a legislative chamber, a lot of what the legislators do, that's our mission critical process. A little history behind that, some of you may not be aware, but the legislature used to operate with bill books where there was paper and staff had to go and refresh that paper every night. So, but starting in 1999, the legislature went to a laptop where you could view in laws, you could view the bills and amendments that you were going to vote on. So at that point, the legislature decided quite a while ago that they liked the larger 17.3-inch screens for that. Another requirement is basically, well, the requirement there is just to make sure we get a screen size that's going to be satisfactory to the legislators to utilize in the chambers. And ideally, if we could have a lighter weight laptop, that would be great. A lighter weight device, the current ones are 8.3 pounds. And we would like to make sure we have processor and graphics performance that supports what the legislator business is. We also want the state standard is that we have on mobile devices encryption. So if your device happened to be lost or stolen, the information on that is secured, it's encrypted, so basically somebody can't pull that drive out and grab your data off it. So your current laptops all have self-encryption drives in there, and they're all encrypted. Now if a member or a user tapes their password onto the front of the computer, that doesn't solve anything for encrypting the drive. But so that's another requirement. The other requirement is that we have docking stations for the clerks, because they come into their clerk area and they use foot pedals, and it's a lot easier for them to connect to a dock. Also, the clerks are required to run Windows. They use software for their journal modules that they do for their committee reports, standing committee reports, conference committee reports. Those are done in an application that requires Windows because it produces documents that use Windows fonts, similar to what the Legislative Council staff does for drafting. That's all based on Windows fonts. The other requirement that we identified is we would like the machines that we're using in the legislative chamber to be on the wired network. Granted, there is wireless in the area, but what's going on in the legislative chamber, you're viewing amendments and bills. Basically, you're reviewing documents for an enacting legislation, and to guarantee that you have access to that information, just we believe that the wired network is guaranteed, where wireless may not always be as reliable. Next up, what I want to go through is some of the utilization information, and I had another handout in your packet, and I'll put it on the screen too. And here's what we're seeing for utilization. I guess I went too big. So basically what we're seeing, and how do we know this? Okay, so Because we are a small staff, we're very much a believer in using automated management suite technology. So we have a product called Microsoft SCCM that we use to push out updates to your laptops. And we have another product called Citrix Enterprise that we use to manage your iPads to be able to push laws and other apps onto those devices. So those devices do connect back to our server for updates. So whenever they do that, we know that we had a hit from that device. So what we did is we took that information and we went back and looked at what is our utilization during the regular session and during the interim. And you can see there for during the regular session, we had 140 laptops connect and 132 iPads. And out of the 141 legislators that we have now, there's 137 legislators that have an iPad. There's four of them that do not. They declined having one. So basically, the utilization during the session is quite high, as we would expect it to be. But during the interim, and this is where the legislators, essentially, you're paying a personal use fee so you can utilize your devices at home. So we wanted to see, because we knew this process was coming up where we're going to replace equipment. And during the interim, we've seen an average of 79 laptops and 110 iPads being utilized regularly, which essentially equates out to 56% of the legislators are using their laptop during the interim, and 81% are using their iPad. So as you can see, when we started, the iPads is something new that was issued out with the last rollout, and that was done more as a convenience device for legislators to go on the go, take it to committee room, have it at home to access their email or browse the legislative information on the web, or basically also pay a personal use fee, so basically it's their years to use. There's 122 of the 141 legislators that pay the personal use fee. Is there any questions on utilization? I mean, it demonstrates that both devices are being used, and we wanted to show that as part of this meeting.
Do you have any metrics as far as how much usage there was during the session, like people accessing laws via an iPad versus using their laptop?
That, I kind of gauged that by observation. When we first rolled out the iPads in the 2013 session, we had, I would say, maybe three or four legislators that used their iPad fairly regularly. But was interesting, during the 2015 session, I only noticed one legislator using an iPad during the floor session for accessing laws occasionally. Most legislators were using their state-issued equipment.
I think let's keep this really informal and casual. I even thought about saying no ties, so you don't need to go through the chairman. If you have a question, just ask it. But I do think you need to use your mic because of the recorder. But otherwise, if that's okay with everybody, let's just keep this a casual working group.
Okay. Any other questions on utilization? Okay. Okay, next up, I'm going to switch back to my slides. Okay, next up is basically, you know, we want business class laptops. Business class laptops, they're going to be more durable, more reliable. They're built to be stronger because they're built for business use. They also undergo reliability testing. Military spec testing is fairly common. So basically, they're testing for dust, vibration, temperature shock, drop, high temperatures, low temperatures, humidity. So basically, in spills, they're testing them to make sure that you can get through your four-year life on them. So that's very important for managing equipment. You know, we are a team of three here, and myself, and we're supporting 141 legislators and close to 85 to 90 assembly and staff. And then we also support the Legislative Council. staff, so we want to make sure that we're buying quality equipment. The business class laptops also come with traditionally better warranties. I mean, it's part of that warranty program that they're selling you, that four-year next business day warranty. They're guaranteeing that they're going to have the parts on hand to fix whatever goes wrong with that device during that lifetime.
Got a
question? Yep.
We've been down this road with laptops for a number of years. Have we had much experience in terms of problems where we had to return parts and that kind of thing, other than the few that have dropped here by then?
Have we had many really maintenance problems with them or not?
Senator Robinson, yes, we've had some. Okay, hang on, I got some statistics on that. No, I put that on.
You don't need to be specific, but...
Okay, so on the current equipment that we've had 38 support incidents. And this varies. We've had 11 motherboards replaced, 2 CPUs and heat sinks replaced, 4 video cards, 4 LCD screens, 5 hard drives. We had 5 incidences of accidental damage. And batteries, we had 3 batteries replaced and various other things. But we've had 38 times where we've gone through support. And the way we handle that is we always have spares. So what we do, a legislator will bring in their information, we'll pull their hard drive, we'll put it in another machine, and within about a half hour we can give it back to them and they're good to go again. Then we'll go ahead and start our warranty work with HP and get it fixed.
And the warranty has been covering this?
Yes, and then basically we submit our incident, they'll identify, maybe have to do a little troubleshooting, but they'll ship the parts out to a local support person that lives in Bismarck, and that's one of the reasons we like HP, because there is local support where they'll come into our office and they will actually repair that equipment right in our office. If this would happen during the interim, they will also go out to your residence or a place where you choose to do that warranty work also.
Have there been instances where the accidental damage protection didn't cover the damage, whether it's wear and tear or accidental?
Representative Mark, no, basically they've been really good about that. I mean, it's accident.
Right. How about theft or loss of device? Have you had incidences of that in the last couple biennia?
Yes, we've had incidents of one laptop being stolen and one iPad stolen out of automobiles. And now the state is covered through fire and tornado fund. There's a $500 deductible. So that really doesn't have anything to do with the warranty, four-year warranty, but that's kind of up to management whether or not they process a claim on that. Okay. The other thing I wanted to state, basically, you know, with the four-year warranty, next business day, you're getting it on-site, which is a big plus. Basically, you're getting better warranties. Versus the consumer line, you're getting access to support that's dedicated to the business world, where I don't know if any of you have ever called in on a consumer product before, but who knows who you're going to talk to. And they're built for business use. Moving on, the self-encrypting drives. With our state standard that says mobile devices should be encrypted to protect the sensitive information that's on there, on not knowing what legislators put on their iPads, we deem them to have sensitive information, so we go ahead and we do encryption. Your current laptops have a spinning magnetic drive that has self-encrypted built into it. All the devices that we're presenting here today, they're all solid-state drives with self-encrypted. They're 256 gig, and so they're going to be a lot faster machine than your current machine because they're all solid-state, and then the encryption is managed right on the chip on the drive. So,
excuse me, Mr. Chairman. You said 256 gig, and what is the current capacity on the ones we have today?
The current ones are 512. We did some checking, and there's maybe one or two legislators that may have more than that. And what we would do then is we would accommodate by putting a second drive in that legislator's device that is encrypted, because there'd be so few.
That was going to be my next question. Those are expandable if over the...
Correct.
Okay.
They're 320.
They're what?
320.
Oh, 320. Your current ones are 320. I misspoke. Thank you, Cody. The new ones are 256.
Faster because they're solid state.
They're solid state drive.
Drive.
And more durable.
Yes.
My thought is, well, going down?
Oh, yeah. Solid state's the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're in the kids' group. I'm in the grown-up group.
Yep.
And then, being it's a solid state self-encrypted drive, we use a product called Wave that's used within state government, where we're managing the encryption on that drive through Active Directory and server hardware. So we have recovery passwords, and we have ways to get into that drive that if there's an issue where the user can't remember their user ID and password, the Active Directory account. So it's manageable.
Are you guys looking into cloud-based storage at all?
No.
Okay.
We're not interested in putting anything in the cloud.
Okay.
At least physically in the cloud. We do, with our mobile device management suite, we use Citrix MDM Enterprise. That includes a product called ShareFile, which is a cloud-based type service. But because we own that license, we actually have that physically implemented on our servers. So the data is stored in our servers behind our firewall, but it would be accessible from your laptop and your iPad. We rolled that out to a few legislators last session, and with this new equipment going out, we want to roll that out all the way. Moving on, the next slide is about what are we really comparing and what's common. These are all, with the exception of the current laptop, these are all new generation machines. Intel just released their sixth generation processor. These are all pre-production units that include that sixth generation processor, and it's called Skylake. These are all pre-production units, not post-production units. So for presentation purposes, where there's different screen sizes here. Currently, there's your current laptop on the end that has 17.3-inch screen. The next one closest to me has the same screen size. And then we have two machines that have the 15.6-inch screens, and those are in like what they would consider the Ultrabook line. So those two weigh 4.1 pounds versus the 17.3-inch one weighs 7 pounds. And then there's also a 14-inch laptop in front of me. So the big comparison here is screen size and weight. And we've received a lot of feedback on that for size and weight throughout the whole interim. So for common features, the equipment that we're looking at all has full HD screens, 1920 by 1080, solid-state drives with self-encryption built into the drive, which, again, is going to drive long battery life because we're not spinning a drive in there, so your battery life is going to be 11, 12 hours. What's going to affect that, essentially, is how bright you make your screen. Backlit keyboard. Your current laptops have a backlit keyboard. We've received positive feedback on that. That's common now. They also have the touch buttons. So where there's the left and the right mouse type buttons, the consumer models of devices or even different lower end laptops don't have that. That's a nice feature. I personally have a laptop that does not have that, and I do not like it because you got to click that touchpad. Ethernet port is available on all these, which is important for legislative chambers as you're using your state issue equipment in the legislative chamber to be on the wire network to access laws. They all support Windows 10 Pro, which is what we would be going to as we roll out new equipment. That is the new operating system. Here's a little screenshot that kind of shows the difference between a 17.3-inch screen and a 15.6-inch screen. It's a little shorter. It's a little narrower. I do have a handout that I'm going to hand out where you can route that around so you can physically see the difference in screen size one-on-one. I'd say, I don't know, I'll give my opinions. But they're fairly close. And they'll both be full HD screens. We do have a few legislators that Windows allows you to scale. So some legislators still like to see the bigger text on their screen. And Windows does provide features where you can scale the information on your screen and view it larger.
Mr. Chairman, do any of these new models have an HDMI output on them, or do they not?
No, they have DisplayPort, and there's VGA for sure, yeah. Are there adapters available for DisplayPort to HDMI?
Yeah,
there are adapters available for DisplayPort to HDMI.
So you could adapt those to make it work? Okay.
DisplayPort is the newer technology, and these are business class machines, and that's why they still have the VGA on there. I mean, right now I'm connected to VGA. A lot of businesses, you walk in the building and you expect the VGA is there, and when your equipment doesn't have it, we had a guy come over from ITD that had a newer laptop, and it didn't have VGA. It only had mini DisplayPort. So we didn't have an adapter yet, so we weren't able to connect to our projectors. But we have two now, just in case somebody else shows up with one, even during session. So we weren't prepared for that one. So that screen size is...
Would you just explain to me, I might be the only one, about the HDMI, the value of that versus not having it?
If you were going to play content on your laptop and you wanted to hook it to your TV, just to have a bigger screen, you know, say you have a video of somebody emailed you a video or wherever you got it and you want to play it, the HDMI will have sound and video, and it's just an easy connection to make to existing home entertainment type systems. So that's fairly standard in the consumer world, but in the business world, not so much. DisplayPort is the
standard. Use wireless if you wanted to do that, or you can't use wireless?
No, not unless you have like a Chromecast or some other kind of adapter that's hooked in. I mean, it is technically possible, but you need that other adapter that hooks into your HDMI port in your home computer. The other thing I wanted to point out is that DVD drives are a thing of the past. Equipment is not shipped with DVD drives anymore. It reduces the weight of the computer. Everything's all about streaming now. So these business class computers and consumer class computers don't have it anymore. What we will do in that case is we will have an inventory of DVD drive, burner drives. I mean, basically they cost about $25. If we had a legislator that decided that they should have one, we would issue them one. It'll hook into their equipment through USB. And if any of you use LexisNexis for CDs, we would set up and we'll make available a download where you'll be able to install that right on your own drive. So you won't really need to have that drive to be able to load that CD. That's just the way the world is now. Okay, moving on. Here's the equipment that we're proposing and presenting on. Basically, they're numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4. And they're sitting closest to me is the 840. The pre-production unit that we have here has a touchscreen. Two of these have touchscreens, but essentially we're not really recommending touchscreen to you. I mean, yeah, you can touch your screen, but there's a lot of glare on those screens, and you can kind of see that in this room. And for running Windows, I mean, you can live without touchscreen. You know, I've never had it to date. It is an additional cost of about $120. The second laptop here is, the first two laptops here are in their EliteBook series. and the next two are in their Z-Book series. Currently, your laptop is in the Elite Book series, and the Z-Book series, what that's all about, it's all about their professional line of computers. In order to provide you with an option for 17.3-inch screen, they only make that in their professional series machines. So we have two Z series ones here. They're both black. And basically what makes them a little bit different is the HP does certify those for AutoCAD, so they will have availability of better graphics card in them. And basically they're certified for AutoCAD. That's not something we really need for legislators. So basically we're but that's the only way we could get a 17.3-inch screen on the table. So that's why we have the two options of the 15, because of the two different color choices. Some of the other differences there, let me see here. The other thing that's different on the Z-Books, basically the battery is sealed. It comes with, we do get the extended warranty on all this equipment, but the Z-Books come with the 3-year warranty on the battery, where the other ones, it's a standard warranty of 1 year. It comes with a little bit faster processor, and the Z-Books are ISD certified for AutoCAD. And they also have a dedicated support team in Fort Collins, Colorado. So,
I stepped out for a second. I apologize. Which one? Which two are the Z-Books here?
The Z-Books are these two here.
Okay.
And these here two are their Elite Book one.
Okay. And which ones have the touchscreen?
This is a touchscreen. You can see it.
Yep.
And also this one.
Okay.
And these are just pre-production units that we got in. Pre-production units that we got in, so for presentation purposes, you could see the layout of the keyboard, the touch pads.
It's all about look and feel, and we had to accept whatever they provided to us.
Thank you. So if I could, on the third of the one in the middle, that has a touch screen, correct?
Correct.
But the only option on the screen is the more glossy screen. I know the person's probably to my right can't see that, but I'm looking at your reflection off of that. They don't have the matte finish.
No, they do not have the anti-glare finish. They're a touch screen. And when we quoted out for our quotes, we did not include the touch screens. If that's something you desire, that adds a $120 cost per machine.
But you said that's our, is that automatic that it has a touch?
No. No, that's just that this is just sample equipment. So I wanted you to be aware of that as you look at it. Why is this one glossy and the other one's not?
So sounds like you're seeing that there's no reason for a touchscreen. Anybody else do you kind of agree with that? There's no reason for a touchscreen? All right.
So the other difference here, basically, other than the screen size, is the weight. The 17-inch Z-Book on the end weighs 7 pounds. The two in the middle, one black and one silver, the 15.6-inch screens, those will come in at 4.1 pounds. And your current one, again, is 8.3. So that's less than half the weight that you have. The 14-inch is at 3.2 pounds. Now, in regard to your legislator bags that were issued last session, the 15-inch ones will fit. They will fit in the front portion of the bag, right in here. It's kind of hard to hold it. But they do fit in here. 17-inch isn't going to fit in this bag, no matter what you do. But the 15-inch will fit. There is a laptop pouch in here, but that's built for 14-inch screens, 14-inch laptops. But the 15 does fit in here.
Oh,
We still have, I believe...
These bags that were from a generation before, because we didn't buy new bags the last time.
Right.
Would there be an option to get bags that were, would fit a larger size, should that be the choice of the committee? Because this one is, seen its better days, but it's still out there.
I mean, what we've seen is, there's a backpack that holds it, but it's got wheels. I don't know. I mean, those 17-inch ones, they fit in there, but barely. But you're welcome to try this one in that bag if you want.
The current one will fit, the current 17-inch we have will fit in there, but you have to really work it to get inside. There's not a lot of space. I guess, Mr. Chairman, my issue is, I see the three of the four, at least it looks like here, have the screen with more of the high gloss glass. Even the second one, I believe, does. Or does that have a matte finish?
These are matte.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, we'd be looking at ones that are all anti-glare. We quoted out ones that are anti-glare. This is just a demonstration.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get earlier. So they all would have that feature when...
Correct.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we can throw that 17-inch out right away, don't you agree?
Okay, so...
There go the kids again. Picking on the old folks.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions about what's presented here or not presented here?
Just quickly again, the second and third one here, the one has the... one is Elite, and the other one is a Z-Book. One's got the touch-tone screen. We're not interested in the touch-tone screen.
Basically, these two devices here and the next one are essentially the same chassis.
Same thing.
What's different is they have different skins on.
Okay.
The other part that's different is the Z-Book line, again, has that certification for AutoCAD. It's just two different lines of...
Okay. Very, very comparable then.
Yeah, they are very much the same. The skins are different, and that's about it.
Okay.
I mean, as far as the way what you would recognize as a difference, that's the only thing you're going to see, a silver one versus a black.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I've talked to several legislators who knew this meeting was coming up, and I would guess that what you're looking at is to have one device chosen for all legislators, is that correct?
It would be IT's preference that we would choose across the board device.
I've had several people contact me saying, give us an option. If we want a smaller one, we could choose a smaller one, smaller screen, smaller weight, or for those who like the larger size, have that option. But I do understand that makes it a bit of an issue for you to support two different devices also. But that request has come from a few folks that I've talked to anyway. Yeah, I think so. I guess some people don't like the large size screen and the increased weight, but understand that there are some folks that do wish to have that just because of the screen size, easier to view, that type of thing.
Well, Kyle, I asked that question of Kyle quite a while ago, and do you want to explain your thoughts on that, please?
Representative Poston and Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, from IT perspective, it would be easier for the IT staff to make everybody happy if the equipment was all the same, because we can go, if somebody has a problem, we just go to our inventory and we grab a different one and push it out. The challenge that will be there if we choose between two different size devices is that, you know, we're going to come up on session here. There will be legislators that will be going out that we probably aren't going to be able to survey to know which one you want. And once a legislator makes a choice, it would be, hopefully they would stick with that choice and not come back week in the session and say, I want a different one. Basically, from our perspective, it's all about making legislators happy. And the other part of it is when we have our terms expire again during the life of the four-year life of the equipment, we'll probably see another 15 to 25 legislator turnover, where there again, we would like to them to be happy and give them a choice. So if that would be a recommendation that came out of this group, how would we manage that? From our perspective, one possibility would be to manage it through the clerk pool. Legislators are issued their equipment first. And we would have to stock, initially we'll end up with some stock of quantities of sizes. And that's what we'll have to live with. Because once we have that equipment in, you know, the HP will continue to sell this equipment until they have another major upgrade of their line, which is usually about 2 years. But so between year and 3 and 4, we won't be able to buy another one. So we would have to live with what we have in our stock pool. So then it's really about how do we manage that inventory. So to manage where there would be a shift in sizes and what people want. And to me, the easiest way to do that, we would need to always have some spares of each size to quickly swap somebody that had a hardware problem, swap their drive to another one. But then initially, as we roll out equipment, the clerks, we would have to adjust their pool to wherever legislators want, they would be first. And then we would adjust the clerk pool to get what's left.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, I think all of legislative council has 15.6, correct?
Correct. The council has been running 15.6-inch laptops. That's our current model, and then the new ones are also that we're going to get are 15.6.
And, Mr. Chairman, I guess that was one of the comments I had from a legislator saying, well, the staff has the smaller ones. We should have that option at least. And I said, well, you know, again, serving on this committee 4 years ago or whenever we last met, you know, it was just kind of the thought we had to choose one item for everyone. But that was the first comment I've received. The second one that I get is, what is going to be the size of the power supply? Because I guess the second big, and we'll have to look.
The power supplies.
The brick that we've had has been a source of contention for a few folks.
Representative Thorson, the power supplies for this equipment is behind each laptop, so you can see the size of it. And the bigger the laptop, the bigger the power brick.
Well, you could really tell them that the source of the power is either Garrison Dam or the coal producing plant. So, you know, we're kind of narrowing things down a little. We're not going to have a touch screen. We probably don't need the CAD. Do you all agree we could take that option of individual choices off the table and
yep.
and not have that? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would, however, like to have a choice of not having an iPad or having a Surface. I know in the business world, laptops are going to be a thing of the past here really quick. We're not even looking at buying them anymore. We're looking at buying Surfaces and just docking them. They're, you know, less than 2 pounds, quite frankly, better than most smaller laptops. So I don't see that as a choice, but I'd like to have that as a choice versus an iPad if we want to do choices. But laptops, there should be no choice. I don't think it should be whatever's decided.
Mr. Chairman, that's a question I had. We spoke briefly at the beginning about why there's no Surface here, and you said you were going to explain that. What
further question?
What thought process went into the Surface?
Are you going to get to that, or you want to do it?
Do that right now. Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, member of the committees. I mean, we did look at the Surfaces, and Cody has been testing one out, and we'll talk about his experience a little later if we want. But here's our observations on the Surface. Basically, we're looking at business class computers with a 4-year life to manage a 4-year cycle for the legislatures. The Surface Pros, they're not serviceable. They're like an iPad, they're sealed. So if we have an issue with a Surface Pro and we need to swap a device with a legislator, and that was their device that they were using the chambers to run laws, essentially we would have to give them a device initially, which would be fairly vanilla, maybe get their email on there and that's it. But to get their personal contents over off of that drive, we would have to clone the information off of that device and then to a backup drive and then clone it back onto another device. And that's going to take anywhere from 4 to 8 hours. So now we've gone from a device where we could swap a drive in a laptop to another laptop and service and get you exactly your same setup back within a half hour. We're extending that out to 4 to 8 hours. And that takes away time from my staff to be able to manage that, and when during the legislative session that becomes, that could become an issue. The other side thing is screen size. It is a 12.3-inch screen. That would have to be acceptable. There's also no Ethernet connection. So we would have to look at, it has one USB port on it, and we'd have to look at docking stations in the chamber to handle that so we could at least get you on the Ethernet wired network. And so we're looking at a device that we would also have to purchase the keyboard, because you should have a keyboard to type with it. So we did get quotes on Surfaces, and the quote that we received would put that device cost at about a little less than $2,000 a device. Granted, that may work in the budget, but our biggest concerns is the serviceability and keeping legislators happy if there would be a hardware issue. And we would also have to have a supply of those on hand. It comes, if you don't do that and we get into year three and year four, I mean, the Microsoft was already on their fourth iteration of this, and how do you manage when you don't have quantity and the device has failed, and then Microsoft is not going to stock these old ones and you end up with one that's the same or different, and then how do you manage that? Does it go back to the same person or what? So those are our concerns about the Surface.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not suggesting that these replace the laptops. I'm suggesting that they replace the iPads or be a choice there. It's the exact same argument you're giving, you could say, for the iPads, too.
I would agree.
So I'm not saying replace the laptop. I'm saying replace the iPad.
Understood.
Kyle. You guys done testing on the the Windows software versions? Is it Windows 10 right now? Do you have compatibility with LAWS and some of the programs you guys use?
Correct.
With Windows 10?
Yes, the IT staff has been running Windows 10 for, I don't know, many months, more than 6 months.
Okay.
And we've tested our applications in there, and we're good with Windows 10 Pro. ITD as a state is also moving, the state government's moving to Windows 10 Pro also.
And so is the Pentagon, 4.2 million devices.
Kyle, a question. What, and I know you had indicated earlier after lunch, we'll get a chance to sit down and get a feel, but on the keyboard, are we going to notice a whole lot of difference? Are all HP? Are they not going to be very close?
Senator Robinson, the keyboards, I think they're fairly similar. When you touch them, they feel the same. They have it for the people that have that pointy stick ball thing that's in the middle, that is available here, and you got the same touch pads. There is pretty much the same keyboard that you've been using for the last 4 years.
With Mr. Chairman, the Representative Straley's idea with the choice of the Surface versus the iPad, was that considered as far as would that be a legitimate option to replace the choice of an iPad with the choice of a Surface Pro, or was any thought given to that idea?
All the same issues are going to exist if we have an issue and swap it out, but we're treating that as your only device. I guess we really didn't consider it much. I mean, Cody's had one now for a year and 3 months. He's on his second docking station. He's had issues with it locking up and having to hard reboot it, and had issues with the start menu disappearing. Not sure if that was a Windows 10 issue or if that was a device issue. Am I missing anything else? I mean, the other part is you put it on your lap.
Is that the
three? These are called laptops because they sit on your lap nice. If you're a person that's going to use the device on your lap, those are not the most nicest device for using.
I'm just thinking of it in terms of you know, instead of having an iPad, you could have a Surface, and, you know, it's...
I mean, ultimately, it's up to this work group to make a recommendation that goes to legislative procedures and arrangements. I mean, we're here as IT, and we support you guys, and we want to make sure that you're happy with the equipment you receive, and we support it in a most efficient manner. We want to be able to do automation on that. One of the difference is with the Surface versus the iPad. iPads are encrypted right out of the box. The Surface Pro, we would have to run BitLocker on the device, so it's using software-based encryption, and technically it works. Cody has his encrypted. I don't know.
Well, I think one of the benefits is of the Surface is when we switch to Windows 10, you have the exact same interface on the Surface, whereas the iPad is, they're totally different interfaces, so you'd get the consistent interface with it. It's got all the same features. In fact, more features, I would argue, especially if you're not an Apple fan, like I am not.
Yeah, I mean, we would have to maintain inventory of it. I mean, basically, if somebody would be, say, hypothetical, this would be what was decided for going forward, we'd have to maintain an inventory of it. No matter how many we roll out, we'd have to have at least an inventory. Generally, we do 5. It depends on how many roll out. There is a higher cost, so basically, you would have to look at it as a replacement device to the lap, so it's a single device. We would want you to have a dock station in the chamber so you could be on the wired network.
Well, we're not comparing the laptop to that. We're comparing the iPad to that, which is essentially the same thing, just a Microsoft version. There's no arguing that. But, in fact, there's more features. There's USB ports. It's a better device. It is more expensive, yes.
And Representative Straley, do you feel that that would be a single device for you?
No.
So you would...
One could sit in the committee room and the other one could sit on the floor or vice versa, or you can carry it around just like you do with the iPad.
Although, Mr. Chairman, if the more technically inclined amongst us could settle for a Surface as the only device and save the state some money, perhaps.
That would be my wish, but we're not comparing that. We're comparing the iPad versus the Surface.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just add that I talked to some legislators in one of the states where they did go just to the Surface, and I know we're talking about having the choice, but they did encounter some issues that they said it was probably best to keep the option of two devices. They were probably more happy with their Apple device. Sorry, Representative Stroud.
Well, speaking for the technically challenged, we don't take offense at that comment. So, do committee members want to have the discussion now on that issue, or should we wait till after lunch? Do you want to discuss the whole package at one time, or do you want to...
I have a couple more slides yet before we get to the lunch break stuff.
We're not going for lunch. I just wanted to know if committee members want to settle that issue now, or you want to wait.
Well, is everybody in agreement that the single laptop is the way to go with the 15.6?
We're not talking
about... Mr. Chairman?
We're talking the iPad versus the Surface Pro. Other than the two members, does anybody think that we should do the Surface Pro?
I'll buy my own and use it during session then.
I'll do a fundraiser.
All right, so we can...
Well, Mr. Chairman, I mean, I've been fascinated with the Surface Pro. I mean, don't get me wrong. I honestly don't know enough whether or not that's a feasible replacement to the iPad, and knowing the amount of devices that IT needs to maintain, so that if you do need to swap them out, and if someone chooses one over the other, I mean, I find myself coveting pretty much whatever technology Representative Olson brings to the committee room just about every day. So, you know, if you do have that choice, and suddenly someone comes forward and you like how that interface shows on the screen better than yours, suddenly, hey, I want to trade this in for that one, that's a logistical challenge for IT. I mean, I don't know. I, I like the discussion. I'm curious if to hear more of the feedback on the Surface Pro and what pros that has brought forward over the iPad. I let me say this. I think that we choose one laptop and stick with that. You know, whichever one we come forward with, that's the laptop for all of the legislature moving forward. I do like the iPad. I wouldn't mind hearing a little bit about the next generation of iPads, what we expect. I know that Representative Olson has the iPad Air Pro.
iPad Pro,
which is a larger screen. It has the docked keyboard. So I think this is mimicking what the Surface has done for Microsoft. Yeah.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I've just been, during this discussion, looking up what kind of the tech sites, the insider sites, are talking about the iPad Air 3. I'm sure you probably have looked at some of this. It looks like, and I've heard some of this, it's probably going to have many of the features of the Pro built into it, just at a, you know, maybe the pencil, which if it's okay to pick up, and absolutely, which is a neat device. You can use that as a stylus and some of the other, you know, extra speakers, the smart connector, that type of thing. So they are.
So Chris, you have both a Surface and an iPad?
No, I don't use a.
I don't use a Surface. Strictly an Apple guy, but I do have an iPad Pro. My main driver is a MacBook Pro, but I found that I can get along and do everything that I need to do with an iPad Pro. In fact, I'm taking a recording of our meeting right now. It's being recorded. I can write down notes as we're discussing, and then later on I can go back and play the audio file back of this meeting, and I can touch any of my notes where I've written something down, and it'll jump to that section of the audio. So I could write, say, you know, like, listen here, underline it, and when I'm going back to listen to it, I could demo that for you. I can just tap there, and it's going to zoom the audio forward. So that's a cool feature. And you've got, we could talk about this. I could show you this. I think that if we're going to consider, you know, maybe making a Surface Pro an alternative option to a laptop, or a secondary option, sort of like the iPad is right now, we might want to think about the iPad Pro also. I honestly could use this device entirely through the next session. And in fact, I would be wanting to. The only potential drawback to it is that it doesn't have a docking station, and so therefore you would be stuck using the wireless network. However, the amount of wireless traffic that you're realistically going to use during the session, unless you're sitting there watching YouTube or something, it's going to be very minimal, because, you know, pulling data down from laws, you're just loading a PDF document every now and then. It's not that big of a deal. So I think it could be feasible to use a device like this.
If I may.
Yes.
Representative Olson, our concern not is so much the capacity of the wireless network, it's the availability of the wireless network.
Sure. Yep.
I mean, we've had issues with the wireless network in the building, and we work with ITD on that. And to date, they've never resolved any issue we've ever experienced. Their solution is to reboot the controllers and the access points.
Yeah, so if...
So we deem the wireless network, it's present, it's in the building, but for what you do in the legislative chamber, it's best if you're on a wired network on state equipment.
Right. So yeah, if the wireless network were to go down, then you'd have to switch to your laptop. But...
is there not an adapter?
For the iPad Pro, I don't think there is a wired Ethernet adapter. I'd have to
technically it can be.
Yeah, it should
be. We can do it on the iPad.
Okay.
It takes a camera adapter and a USB hub hooked to the wired network.
I wonder if they have a lightning adapter for...
I don't.
Is there a USB port in those?
No.
It's, no, just the lightning adapter.
Yeah, they would have an adapter then.
Yeah, we do it when we unlock iPads through the MDM, through the wired network, when we can't get on the wireless. It is a little bit of a rigmarole to set that up.
Are we looking at the iPad Pro for the next one?
We were, the iPads were looked at as a convenience device that people carry around to the committee room, carry when they go out with their, meet their constituents or personal use, or so size matters. I think we were presenting that we would stick with the same 9.7 inch size, going up to 12.9 inches. I think there were some that may not like that.
Mm. And Mr. Chairman, that is the iPad Air 2 there, correct?
Correct.
But if the 3 were to come on the market, which it's rumored to be sometime in March, that would be the device you'd be looking
right
at?
We would wait.
Right.
If the committee recommended iPads and LPA approve that, we will not purchase an iOS iPad device until the new version comes out.
And would those then also have the cellular data capability?
Oh, absolutely. And we would desire to that they be the 128 gig size. Basically, what we want to make sure we're buying equipment that's going to be planning for the future. We'd like to do more apps to do things in committee, such as have availability of testimony out on your devices, your laptops, your iPads. So we want to make sure the storage is there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I dropped my Surface argument. I'm not going to win. So in place of the iPad, I think we should absolutely do the iPad Pro and skip the regular iPad.
From the iPad Air to the Pro?
Yeah.
The cost difference? I think it's about $400 more if you wanted to get the 128 gig with cellular.
Okay, so we pulled the retail price of the iPad Pro. 128 gig with cellular runs $1,079. But the smart keyboard is $169. And the Apple Pencil is $99 for a total price of $1,347 retail.
I don't think we need to provide
the iPad Airs. The iPad Air essentially is $829 plus a case. Apple's been fairly consistent about keeping their prices the same as new models come out, so right now we're not expecting those to change. In regard to getting the keyboard, I mean, a lot of it goes down to, I mean, if it's still treated as an optional device, yeah. I mean, Representative Olson, would you enjoy that device like you do if you didn't have the keyboard or the pencil?
Without the pencil, yeah. It's a laptop replacement. So with the keyboard, I would certainly use it as my main driver. It's light, very portable, easy to use.
And members of the committee, the way the iPads were done last session, we provided a case, but we did not provide any styluses or keyboards for them to the general membership. So some went out and bought that on their own. There's a lot of personal choices on cases. Our deal is when we hand it out the door, we want to make sure it has a case on it to protect it.
Kyle, when you work with Apple, I imagine with HP, they're a little more flexible with price breaks based on the quantity of an order. Does Apple provide similar incentives when you order an X number, a certain quantity of products? And if so, how would that price break differ between an iPad Air versus an iPad Pro?
Okay, so Representative Mock, member of the committee, what we're hearing from our provider, who is the licensed reseller for government, is when we first purchased them, there was no discount program. What the guy is telling us now, Apple did put out a discount program where we may get from 1% to 8%, depending on volume. But I think another dependency there is probably how new the device is. If you're the new device on the market, I don't think Apple's going to bend too much on a discount.
Is there any room for discounts on accessories with Apple, such as the keyboard or the pencil?
We would have to check into that. We do. There is a cellular vendor that's on state contract that does supply certain things. I guess I didn't look at the iPad Pro supplies. We could look at that, but it's possible.
Is that something you could look at?
Yeah, Cody and guys can look it up and see.
No, I mean today?
Yeah, well, they'll look it up.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess my thoughts are if you want the keyboard and the pen, write your own darn check. I mean, it's not that expensive. We get paid $400 and some dollars a month to take it out of that. just provide the device, just like the iPad, make it the Pro, and then it's on you to buy the extra stuff if you want. I mean, we're not talking, we're talking less than a couple hundred bucks here.
Representative Lowell's going to ask a question.
Yes.
I know you have the keyboard thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Cody's experienced the same thing with the Surface. They're really, to dock the Surface, he has three. We did purchase a protection case on it, so when he's away from his desk, so if he drops it, it isn't going to hopefully bust. Mm-hmm. But I noticed, like, here you have the keyboard that attaches. It doesn't appear like you could put a case on that to protect it.
So in this case, what we have here is there's a case on the back.
So there is a protection case.
Yep. So this is a protective case that's on it right there. You can see the difference. See the lip there?
Okay, yes, I do.
So it's a silicone case, and then the smart keyboard attaches directly to it. And the nice thing about the keyboard is it's docked directly through a physical connection, so the power and the data flow through that port, so it's not Bluetooth and it doesn't require batteries. It's just a direct.
Good thing it's not Bluetooth, because Bluetooth on the devices is not secure.
Yep.
Did that case come with the keyboard, or was that separate?
Nope. The keyboard is separate from the case itself. Yep.
See, that's something.
You had to buy that case.
Yep. So this silicone case on the back.
So the member of the committee, I'm a very strong proponent that if we put a device out in the field, that it's got to have protection.
Absolutely. Yeah.
$74 for that.
But the problem is that's only protecting the back. It's not protecting the screen.
Is there an aftermarket case, non-Apple?
I'm sure.
That would provide more protection for the screen and
there,
the...
Yeah. Representative Mock, Logitech makes a case keyboard combo that's all in one.
There's quite a bit of third-party product.
Sure, right. Yep. And you could probably find something.
But basically, we wouldn't want to put out a device that doesn't have protection. Right?
No.
Now, but let's still go back to this. What are you going to use in the chamber? According to the computer use policy, you're to use state-issued equipment in the chamber for running laws and looking at legislation. So, and we would still... We'd prefer you to be on the wired network. I mean, my concern is that wired network goes down. What are we going to do? Are we going to stop session?
Well, there is the option of having the, I did look it up, there is a Ethernet adapter for the Lightning port, $29 for that alone from Apple. So, I mean, it's a possibility to have that issued and just have it connected and usable.
Chairman? I guess my view is we want to go as simple as possible, because what's our ultimate goal and job as legislators? I mean, this all started because we were going to replace the paper bill books, and now we've become so tech savvy, and I guess one of the biggest irks that I have is having the iPad and the iPhones and everything else within the committee room, because when people come up to that podium, they're still giving us paper, and everybody's sitting here doing this, and it's just rude not to be listening to the guy at the podium. And we need a good laptop up in the chamber to access laws and do that work, whatever we want to do personally. A basic iPad will do enough. If you want to add bells and whistles to it, as Representative Straley said, add it to yourself. But I don't think to do our job as legislators, we don't need to go over the top with this.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Urban made it a very good reminder of the, especially the reason we have the second device. Kyle, last session you mentioned you had the utilization statistics. Did you speak at all with members that didn't use their iPad significantly during the session, why they didn't use it more in committee room or outside of the chamber?
During the session, the utilization was quite high.
Of the iPad?
The interim averages.
Right. It was when you observed the utilization, where in what environment was it? Was it at the committee room? Were they using it for notes?
Basically during legislative session, we're seeing in the upper 90% on both devices in session. It's the interim that drove that.
Well, and I guess the reason I ask that is especially if we're going to come to rely on that second device as our access to information, as people start to provide testimony digitally, you know, see a couple people that did it last session. I imagine a few more will even do it this next session. Is the iPad the best device for that second device if they're sitting in a committee room? Is the screen size adequate? I would defer to others who've used it and making sure that, to Senator Herbley's point, if it is going to be used, that at least it's meeting those expectations, that we're not seeing people leave it in the desk drawer or in their bag because of whatever reason. Screen's too small, doesn't serve that purpose. That way we're not spending $900 on an iPad Air that isn't used for what it was intended to be used for in the first place.
Representative Mock, we did have several legislators. We know they were using laws after they'd leave the building and go back, and they'd leave their laptop in the chamber. They were using laws on their iPad from their hotel room. And we know that because we did field a few support calls on that.
And the presentations to constituents that borrow the dongle?
Yeah, we do have dongles for using the Connect to VGA and for presentations in the committee rooms, and we did borrow out a couple of those for some of them, used them off-site.
One of the things that Senator Herbley pointed out is there is still a lot of paper around us when we're in session and we're sitting at a desk like this. What I found it nice, at least as a chair of a committee, is to have the iPad of this size, and I purchased a separate keyboard to be able to go on laws or somewhere if I wanted to be able to look at something but still have room. The Pro is a great device, if it's okay to pick this up, but it is, you know, it does take up quite a bit more space. If that's what we're going to be using the iPad for, is, you know, kind of leaving these at our offices, as I like to call them also, because our desk is our office. You know, if we want to talk about getting us each offices, then we'll do that at a different meeting. But that's why I guess something of this size, it does seem to be a little more practical in the committee setting. At least my thoughts.
I do have a couple more slides dealing with tablets. Not to interrupt the discussion, but I think you have... Okay. The next slide that I have is about tablets and why tablets. It's kind of the same discussion we've been having. I mean, it's the form factor. A lot of they're easy. They fit in the smaller bags. You carry them out the building. You carry them to the lunchroom, whatever. They're very easy to carry. They're an e-reader. They're easy to use. Touch screen. Multi-touch. You flip open that case and it's on. The battery life is good. But there's a lot of the use cases. Laws, of course, which we've already talked about, mobile access to your email, but a lot of you, it's not just your state email on there. There's many that have put your Gmail and your Hotmail and Yahoo or whatever mail on there. We did introduce a new North Dakota Legislative Daily app that's going to be available out to publicly, too, by next session, so you'll be able to view your daily schedule, and you'll be able to install it on your phone and have it on your phone, too. The Legislative Branch website. Other use cases, you can view information off the website. We are in the future looking at doing some kind of committee application, where if you're in committee or preparing for your committee meeting the next day, to be able to access testimony that was from prior meetings, or possibly when the bills flip chambers, to access the testimony from the flip side and things like that. The mobile devices, as you know, you guys are all experts now. They connect to your home networks quite easily, and you can capture notes, and Representative Wilson was talking about that. The newer iPads are essentially smaller, lighter, with the exception of the bigger one. And they are a solid-state drive, and they're encrypted right out of the box. Some information we got off of Apple's website. You guys have the iPad 3's third generation. the iPad Air 2s, the sixth generation, there's a couple little charts there where you can see between the third generation how much improvement Apple has made in the speed of their processors that they put in the device, and I can imagine that that curve is going to continue to go up with the next device that's coming out. Same thing on the graphics side, between from the third device over into the right side, there's a quite an improvement. So from the original iPad to the current iPad, you're seeing 12 times the faster processor and 180 times faster graphics. So Apple continues to make these devices faster. And you all are used to your iPads you have now. When you get that new one, you're probably going to do a wow because, wow, this is fast. You know, you probably didn't realize it was as slow as it was. The weight is a big factor too. The new ones, and we don't know what the new ones are going to weigh when they come out, but the iPad Air 2s are almost a half a pound lighter than the one that you have right now, which is quite a bit. And they're slightly, they're thinner, they're narrower. Basically, they got rid of a little bit of the black margin on the edge to make them a little narrower. They continue to improve them. Battery life has been good. You know, when we first bought these, one of the concerns I had was, you know, 4 years of the iPad, are we going to be having to replace batteries in year four? And I don't know, occasionally we have complaints about battery, but usually what it ends up being is an app that was just sucking juice on the device and draining the battery out, because when we reset the device and put the apps back on, the problem went away. So the batteries have been good. I guess that was one of our early concerns. So, but that's all I have for presentation material, unless somebody has additional questions or anything else that you want to talk about.
Kyle, with the iPad, or a little bit different with the Surface because it's a Windows-based tablet, for me, speaking personally, if I have the iPad, I'm taking that to committee, and I do have my laptop at my in the chambers because of the network, but personally, I'd like to just streamline it, but there's been some challenges in the past with laws on the Apple platform, and I'm just wondering if those are going to persist or getting better, or to streamline someone that wants to streamline their device and just use that one, because that's typically what I do. Once I leave session, I don't take that other one out of the bag, as you can probably tell by your update pushes and stuff, and I use the iPad for everything. But you know, there's keyboard challenges and some stuff like that when you're in committee with laws and taking notes, but I'm just wondering if that's some of the stuff that's coming on the horizon that you guys are planning, if we continue down that road, or
Representative Tolman and members of the committee, one of the things that we did change in laws that was recently rolled out is the PDFs that display, you used to have to do a two-finger scroll. That's been changed now. We render those differently now, so those scroll with just a single finger. So that will make life easier a little bit. I guess other than that, I would be interested to know what issues or experience that you have with laws that you're seeing. I know there's once in a while you have to resize the screen a little bit.
I think maybe probably for how I use it is probably the screen size, well, that mostly.
That you would like a larger screen?
It seems to act the same when I'm on the laptop or on the tablet this last session, so. I mean, the screen size was the only thing I had to figure out, that two-finger scrolling, but I just didn't know if there was other challenges with the Laws app versus the Laws app on the...
No, the big difference that we're aware of right now and we're still looking at is on your laptop you can search the documents, the PDFs, and on the iPad you cannot. But with the new renderer that we're doing, that option is there, so we're trying to figure out how to get it in there and also still remove some other things that we don't want you to have. But other than that, it is the same feature set. The other thing that we are doing is through ShareFile, we have options in there that we've tested, and we rolled it out to ourselves and a couple of legislators, that inside of laws you'd have the option to click and take a document down into your ShareFile so you could annotate it. And we will expand that and make that available to all the legislators for the next session. It'll be nice for the ones that want to annotate, because inside the app or inside the browser, it's just annotations, just not there. You need to get inside of an app that provides it.
I guess to follow that line, if I may, So there's no challenges of implementation necessarily from Windows to Apple now that we've done that initial laws implementation for the iPad this last, and the improvements and stuff?
It's actually, the way we do laws on the iOS device, you're running the exact same app. We only have one set of code that's maintained by IQD. There are a little bit of variances in there with style sheets and stuff, variants between the laptop and the iPad, but that's just a small set of difference, but it's a single app.
Compile it down for Windows, for iOS, and then...
Yeah, we basically, we wrap it in iOS and we push it out. So we've been very successful with that and haven't had a lot of issues with that, so. We saved a lot of money by not having to rewrite another app just to have access to laws on your iPad. Essentially, that's kind of all I had. We're kind of, I mean, if we want to continue on before lunch, we could.
I think probably what we'll do is take a bit of a lunch break. I would just, my thoughts on this are, and I'm coming to this meeting with no bias at all, and I really mean that. Whatever the committee decides is fine with me. But we need to think in terms of the entire body. And we range in the body from people who are whiz people, regardless of age. I kid the younger folks, but it's only kidding. But we range from people who can make magic out of these versus those who don't even use them during the interim. So I think ultimately we need to say what is best for the kind of the average of folks. We'll have people coming in here like my wonderful friend Ron Carlisle, our wonderful friend, I should say, who did not use a computer the first session. And he's better now. And our wonderful friend Kretsch, who doesn't use it during the interim. So we need to think of, you know, the whole group, not just, you know, I have my personal preferences, but I hope that I'm going to think of the good of the order rather than just, you know, what I would like. So, contrary to what at least one person on my right thinks, I'm not going to just say I got to have a 17-inch screen.
Must be Tolman.
Yeah. All right. So why don't we take a break till 12:30? Okay. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Do you use that for your work too, right there? So you've got your business on there. That's gold and silver is on there.
Oh yeah,
it's a sweet device.
Yeah, and you know, the one of the things that I get by with
is Casper on there still.
Here, no, don't do
no.
It. Just talk.
I can log into a remote desktop session of a server that we're on. So I've got Windows with.
Oh, you can put Windows on there?
It's a remote, so you're looking at your PC back. I've got it.
So it's just as though you're working with your PC back?
Yeah, in a sense. So there's free apps you can do for that. I've got that on here so I can go.
Okay, members of the committee, Kyle Forrester again, back up front here. Basically, we want to go through the budget information. And it's up on your screen, and this is in your handouts, too. Okay, so the way we budgeted, we kind of budgeted based on equipment that you already had. So we budgeted for 231 laptops, essentially there's 141 legislators, and then we have all the assembly staff, the interns, the clerks, the kiosks, steno telephone, and five spares. So that takes that up to 90, so that's how we come up with the 231 number. We budgeted $1,800 a piece. Last session we paid $1,500 for your laptops, but then we also have to buy some docking stations, and then we also wanted to move towards solid-state drives. At the time we were budgeting, those were more expensive, so that's just how that budget was established. And then we want to upgrade from Office, you're sitting on Office 2010, we want to upgrade to Office 2016. So that's 227 licenses of that at $250 each. So the laptop total is $472,550. And then with the iPads, we budgeted for iPads in a case, and we budgeted for 150 of them, essentially one for each legislator, and then have nine spares. On our laptops, essentially, we're doing 4 year next business day in the cost, so we are covered warranty-wise and repair-wise. But on the iPads, we essentially self-insure. We don't buy any Apple Care, so we're basically getting our 1 year warranty. So we're deemed, because we have quite a quantity of them, it's cheaper just to self-insure and have some spares if we need them and be able to swap them out. What we did last session, we had a few that ended up with cracked screens, and we send those off to a place in Fargo and have them swap out the screens for $150. So we did that a couple times, but now that Apple changed it where the glass is adhered to the LCD now, it's not quite, we haven't had to do one since then, but it won't be $150 anymore. It'd be more expensive. So anyway, we self-insure on that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, quick question on the Microsoft Office. You say you're upgrading to Microsoft Office 2016. Are you using Microsoft's, was that the Microsoft Live or 365?
Talking about Office 365? Right. Okay, we opted to stick with just a single purchase of a license. Okay, the state negotiated a contract with Microsoft, which is up for renewal this spring, this summer, and it comes out to $9 per month per user. Granted, that does give you the next version of Office when it does come out, but essentially we're doing a four-year life on these, and currently your 2010 is still supported right now as far as updates for security. Basically, it would cost almost double to go to Office 365 because that $9 a year user, it comes out to $24,516 a year. And for the biennium, $49,032. For the four-year life, takes it up to $98,000 versus we budgeted $56,000, and the cost is actually a little bit less than that. So we deemed that it was more cost-effective just to buy the single license and save the money that way. The other thing that we found out from ITD is right now the rate is $9 per month. And what ITD is learning from other states that are renegotiating with Microsoft right now is that those rates are going up. This Office 365 is all about Microsoft establishing a revenue stream. They want that consistent licensing payment. So the rates are going to go up. They don't know what they'll go up to, but at that rate, it's going to be higher yet.
Would there be any advantages to going to 365 other than that, or what differences does it make between the single license and going to that?
365, once we go with Office 2016, we would be on 2016 until we decide to upgrade again. So we will get our upgrades, but we'll always be on that version. With Office 365, what they're doing is whenever it'd be 2018 or 2019, whatever that version would be out, we would have to repurchase that again. But what we've been doing for the last two cycles is running the same Office version for the four-year life of the computers. Being Microsoft has supported that license for that duration. I mean, if you look at Office 2010 and what you can do in Office 2016, I mean, Microsoft, their big thing is they're trying to get everything to SharePoint and everything cloud-based, and I mean, we're not really there, nor do we want to be. Moving on with the iPads, basically we budgeted 870. So basically we budgeted for the 128 gigabyte memory. Well, and then $870 for 130. So our total budget was $603 or $3,050. So that's what we budgeted. So the last slide here. Okay, so the next, I'm not moving. There we go. Okay, so here's our quotes. Okay, so the laptops were labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, and number one laptop was the 14-inch one, the 840, and the quote on that was $1,187. And the next one, 15-inch, and the LeapBook number two was quoted at $1,193. That includes the cost of the laptop and the four-year next business day warranty with the accidental damage coverage. And then the columns 2, 3, and 4 are the ZBooks, which are those two black ones. And those are in the ZBook series, which is that professional series. It is a step up, and it has the certified graphics for AutoCAD and that kind of thing. So those ones are a little more higher. So $1,297 and $1,511. The current legislator 17.3-inch laptop, we paid $1,500 for those 4 years ago. So we're looking at $1,511 for that replacement in that size. And the weights are there again. On the bottom left, we have the docking stations. Basically, we get 38 docking stations for the clerks. So when the clerks come back up to their desk area, they can just dock, and they don't have to make a bunch of connections that connect their foot pedals and that kind of thing. So the LeapBooks, the number one and two, the docks run $109. And also for number three, that uses the same dock. And the ZBook, number four, that dock is $152. Microsoft Office Standard runs at $239 per license. An iPad case, we just kind of estimated $42. The reason we left it at that, even though I believe we can get them cheaper, is that when these new iPads come out, what we don't know is if how well the market's going to be on cases yet. So depending on, we may end up spending up that much just to get them all cased right away, and then the price goes down as volumes come up. And I just threw in a couple of tablet prices for the iPad Air 2. These are retail prices. The 64 gig Verizon Cellular one is $729, but our recommendation would be to go with the $829, the 128 gig of storage on it, just because of what we plan on doing in the future to ensure that we have enough capacity on the devices to hold files. That, and we don't know what the budget's going to be down the road. I mean, it could be that there may be a decision later that, yeah, we can extend the life of our devices. So the storage, I think, would be a good thing. Yes, sir.
I know the last time we did the upgrade, individuals could purchase their device.
Yep.
What was the rate? How many legislators purchased their laptop? And I presume that similar incentive, that program would be available for the iPads?
Yes, that is available by statute, and that yep. There's a sheet in your packet. But last time, I think there was about 6 or 7 legislators that bought the laptops. At that point, we weren't really recommending that they purchase them, because the license key that was on them was Windows Vista,
right.
Which was very pretty much banned by Microsoft. So
I don't think it was just banned by Microsoft. I don't think it was limited to them.
Yeah.
What is the dollar amount for both the laptops and the iPads, and did you budget for how much you expect to receive from legislators choosing to purchase their devices at the end?
Okay, Representative Mock and Chairman, the members of the committee, the money that comes in for those goes in the Legislative Services Fund. So that really doesn't offset any budget or anything like that. And Legislative Services Fund, for example, we bought some audio equipment for the chambers, and we bought new monitors for on the info wall because we had one that go out. And then occasionally they use it in support area where if they need a new copier, it helps pay for one of those. So that's where that money gets used. In regard to purchase price of for legislators, Lori Ziegler and myself, we talked to Surplus Property and figure out how do they set their prices. One of the things they do is they go out to eBay and they look at the sold prices. And the iPads or the laptops, I went out and checked some sold prices on eBay, and ones that are in good condition yet were going for $200 to $300 for the laptops. And on the iPads, they are going from $160 to $200. The iPads that you have are, again, the 32 gig, but they have the cellular Verizon, which is desirable to people to have that LTE on there. So that's why the prices are still up on those ones. So, I mean, if the committee wanted, or the work group wanted to make a recommendation, essentially LPA will set that price. And that'll happen at the LPA meeting. Any other questions on these quotes? Okay.
I have a question. You don't have the iPad Pro on there.
No, we weren't anticipating that discussion. The iPad Pro.
$250 more.
Yeah, they're $250 more.
For a total of $137,500 more.
Could you do some quick math then?
$37,500 if we were to choose option two.
Just let me finish my question.
I know what you're going to ask, so go ahead.
How am I going to vote? Could you do the math on, say, option two for the laptop and the Microsoft Pro and then do the total dollar amount?
We would be $101,000 under budget, or 16%. So take minus $37,500 off the $138,482.
We've been on appropriations together too long.
Yep.
You guessed it.
And option three was the same thing.
Take $37,500 off of that, so 80. We'd be 12-13%. I would think if we're going to do a 15-inch, we should probably do option two. It's $100 cheaper, and that gives us a little bit of savings to if we chose to do or choose to do the Pro, and still be over $100,000 under budget.
On those two, let me just double check. The third device, the one in the middle here, that has a touch screen on the version we see here, correct?
Just for demo.
But the one that we would see if we were to order it would have the non-touch screen?
Correct. It would have a non-touch screen that's anti-glare. That's what we quoted. If you desired to have touch screens, that's an additional $120.
No, Mr. I guess, personally, I don't need the touch screen, obviously, if we're having another touch device, and the anti-glare, I think, is important, especially with the lighting. I'd asked if maybe we could bring some of those up into the chamber and look around. If the committee doesn't want to, we don't need to. I do, and I know there is a price difference, I do like the darker finish case than the light one. I think in the chamber with the lights and everything, it does make a difference. I kind of having that jumping out at you the whole time, so... I mean, that's personally my preference. I don't know if other... obviously, there is a cost difference, but I think just for the time we sit in front of them, it's easier with that. Than I wish two had the dark case option, but apparently it does not.
The difference between the two and the three, essentially they're the same chassis, but they're skin different. But the ones in the silver one is in the Elite Book, and the 15U is in the Z Book. Again, the difference on those is the graphics card is a little bit better. It does have a sealed battery, and the battery is covered for 3 years, even though we've had very few battery issues on our last ones. The CPU is 0.2 gigahertz faster. 2.4 versus the 2.6, and they're ISD certified for AutoCAD, and they have dedicated support in Fort Collins.
It's the same processor, it's just one's a higher, it's clocked higher. Is that correct?
That's basically the justification why they're higher.
I seven, you know?
These are Intel sixth generation Skylake processors, i5.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be of the opinion that the option two is going to be the most cost efficient. Apart from the skin and the dark color, what you gain by moving up to the 15U is not much. I mean, a slight bump in processor speed, a better graphics card. We don't need AutoCAD. Nobody would really even notice. And it's going to be such a huge upgrade from the old one to whatever we get here. It's going to be smooth, very smooth. So I guess the only objection to between number two and number three is the color.
And I think, you know, Mr. Chairman, that's something to consider. Is, you know, it's one thing to look at one of these laptops on the desk and compare the skin options on those laptops and see what, you know, have personal preference. But now put yourself in the House or the Senate chambers where you've got 94 and 47 of those laptops sitting on desks. Does that create a distraction as people are watching, you know, the legislative session on the camera? And actually, I genuinely don't know what it would look like to have 94 silver-backed laptops on the floor, if that creates a distraction or not. I don't know.
Only for the speaker, and we don't care.
I think if we took a vote, it'd be 93-1.
I personally like the budget piece of it being over 100,000 under budget.
Do you want to take them upstairs?
I would.
Well, go ahead, take. I'm not going to go up, but go ahead, grab them.
I think Scott looked at that already.
No, but Blair would like go ahead, take them.
I won't.
No, you're welcome to do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to make the committee waste time on it.
Take them. Go up.
I very personally think that, and I understand the budget issue and everything, but I think, personally to me, in the House and Senate chambers, I think that the silver case just kind of stands out like a sore thumb. I'll be very honest with you on that. I wish that we could have some kind of an easy compromise, but I think having the darker finish and something which allows for aesthetics, because it's still, to me, I think you're going to very much notice it when we're sitting there. I'll just leave it at that.
I could buy some skins and donate them to everybody if you really want.
Is that an option?
Spray paint works too.
So are either of these backlit?
No, the backlit HP logo has been discontinued. One thing that we did notice between the silver and the black is the black will show the fingerprints much more than the silver on the case.
Okay, I'd like a report from the color committee.
Careful what you say.
We decided on wood.
Yeah, wood. I don't know, did we come to a consensus subcommittee? I guess, Mr. Chairman, I still think the darker looking cabinet, especially I thought in the Senate chamber, the silver one really stood out much brighter, but it depends if you're up close. When we put them in the House chamber right towards the front and stood right near them, it didn't make that much of a difference. But when you put it on the very back row, you could really tell the difference. So it's minor details, I realize.
Yeah, I think the other part was that we didn't really account for is when you're sitting at the back of the chambers and you look and you've got the keyboards, the black casing blends into that desk a lot more than that silver casing does. But that's, we're getting into aesthetics, and I don't know how much we want to accommodate the aesthetics of a casing.
Well, during the session, when you look at some people's desks, you're not even going to be able to see.
Right. Yeah. Well, for speaking for those of us that actually do something at our desk versus you guys that have nothing on your desk, so are we ready for a motion or something? You want more time to look at them? Do you want more discussion?
Well, I would move that that we choose the option number two and the iPad Pro.
Secondary.
Do you want to take those separately? Anybody? Otherwise, we'll go with them at the same time, a package. All right, we'll do them separately.
Motion, reconsider the motion.
I withdraw a second.
Withdraw the motion, yeah.
So do you want to make a motion then for?
Well, I would move that that we go with option two. I mean, it is $100 less. Aesthetics aside, I don't know how noticeable it's going to be. So that's just my thought, that we should go with number two. And
there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Would you call? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, we're going with option two for the HP 850 laptop minus the iPads. That's going to be separate.
Separate, right.
Representative Martinson.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
Striley.
Yes.
Thorson.
Yes.
Toman.
Yes.
Herbley, Senator, Representative Herbley, or Senator, sorry, your sheet's wrong.
Yeah.
Robinson.
Yes.
The ayes carry.
Is Casper with us?
No.
All right. All right, that motion passes. Do you care to make your other motion?
I would move that we adopt the iPad Pro 128 gigabyte version with cellular connectivity as the replacement for the iPad option.
There a second?
Second.
Where did that come from? Where did the second come
Striley.
From?
Striley.
All right. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I will resist that motion. I think that the, well, let me ask, what is the price difference on the two? It's $200 and some dollars per device, is that correct?
$250 per device.
Okay.
Retail.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess seeing what most likely is going to come forward in the new version of the iPad Air, it basically will have all of the functions of the iPad Pro for the most part. And personally, I guess saving the amount of money of $250 per device, we just took a vote where I think a lot of the choice was done because of the cost. So I would hope that we would choose to stick with the iPad Air rather than the Pro.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, I don't know if Representative Olson, Representative Striley, or someone would like to speak. What is it about the iPad Pro that is appealing, that makes that a more suitable replacement than the iPad Air 2?
So comparing the iPad Pro to what will likely be the iPad Air 3, which will likely, though we're not certain, have support for the Apple Pencil, we do know that this does. We don't know that the iPad Air 3 will, although that is the strong rumor, but it's still a rumor. Additionally, the iPad Pro is going to be far easier to use as a desktop replacement, and I think a lot of people could move to utilizing it for that purpose. You're going to have a larger screen, you're going to have better visibility at the desk or wherever you're using it, and I think two sessions from now, when we're back making the same decision, if people have become accustomed to using a tablet as a replacement for a desktop, it's very likely that we may not even need a laptop 4 years from now. Technology's changing that fast. I think it would behoove us to attempt to adopt a form factor that most closely approximates what will probably be the form factor of the future. And when you look at the direction that mobile computing devices are going with the Surface Pro or the iPad Pro, if you're looking for a productivity machine, the Pro versions are it. If you're looking for a machine that's more consumption of media, reading e-books, just sitting around having fun, the smaller versions of the iPad really are what do that for you.
Any other discussion? Would you take the roll, please?
Compare, because I think we have the device, so I might as well see what it looks like compared to the laptop.
Sure.
Be careful.
Yeah,
you're right on the edge.
I know.
But again, Mr. Chairman, we're still talking about having two devices, correct? So we're not really, at this point, not looking to replace. I understand in the future that might be the case where there will not be an option for a laptop because maybe they won't make such a thing in 4 years.
And if I can add this.
It's $250 per device.
But keeping in mind, we're still under budget.
But that, Mr. Chairman, the $250 for device, again, would be just for the iPad Pro, not for a case or keyboard or Apple Pencil, correct?
Correct. We did check online, and we should be able to get a case just to cover the edges and seal it like we do with the current iPads for probably $35, $40.
But if we're talking about a device with pencil support, if we would be, as legislators, responsible for purchasing those ourselves, correct?
Correct.
That's about $100 and some per stylus, I think. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, the sheet.
That's correct.
If you want it. You wouldn't necessarily have to have it.
Yeah, the smart keyboard was $169, the pencil was $99. Retail.
And those are the Apple devices. There's cheaper smart keyboard case combos also that we could acquire. Logitech has, I think it's 130 was the retail list for a Logitech case and keyboard combo.
Mr. Chairman, I'm curious if other members of the committee would like to comment on the size difference between the iPad Pro, the larger iPad, and the new 15.5-inch laptop. If there is, if portability is a concern, if you're going to have an iPad, is having an iPad Pro too similar to having a laptop? I'm curious from members if they have a comment on that, and what we anticipate the reaction to be from other legislators.
Well, for my work in the committees, smaller is better because if I'm moving from place to place, especially during conference time, I usually have a pile of notebooks to carry in addition, and this this lends itself well for just the mobility part of it. And I still think it comes back down to, you know, what do we need to be effective legislators?
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Need the melds, you know.
I think with the choice which we have just made for the PC itself, this is much more portable than the device we have been using for the last 4 years. So if we choose to bring something with a larger screen to committee, this is about the same weight roughly as the iPad Pro and seems much easier to move back and forth.
I like the idea of a larger screen, but I really like the idea of the pencil to be able to take notes as you're listening to testimony, and all of the different ways that you can call it up. And
I think that is a very nice function to have. And I, again, it is just rumor, but in most of the times when you're this close to a launch for a new Apple product, what's been put out there on the blogs and the so-called rumors web pages usually end up being the production model.
Well, and there's a distinction here that was made too. The regular iPads are consumer. They're not business. This is a pro version. It's a business version. We should be consistent, I think, in having business type products.
Mr. Chairman, is there, and maybe, I don't know if Kyle or Representative Olson, if someone can speak, is there, with Representative Stradley's comment that this is a pro version versus the consumer version of the iPad Air, are there other items that come with an iPad Pro that would not be included with an iPad Air, software, other services that may be relevant?
Well, I think that might be the danger with assuming too much about the rumors. I think Apple is making a distinction between the Pro and a regular iPad, that the Pro is meant for business production use. That's kind of the angle that they're taking. So as much as I would like to believe that the new iPad Air 3 would support the Pencil and all the other business features that go with this, it's hard to say. Let me look and see if I can find out sure. What some of these business class features are.
Yeah. I'll go ahead. I'm somewhat consistent with where Senator Eberle is coming from. You know, we did move with this particular model. We saved some money. Yeah, there's a difference between the two products we're looking at here. But $37,000 is $37,000, and yes, we'll still be under the budget. But I think the iPad we've had, and it's going to be enhanced with the new version, has served us well. So I would be inclined to stick with the smaller product here and save the $37,000.
Mr. Chairman, is there, I don't know if there's precedent for this at all, but since we're not worrying about replacement parts, this is one that we have the 1-year warranty and we have an insurance policy on them that we handle ourselves. Is it even worth considering making the base model the iPad Air and giving legislators the choice to pay the additional $250 to increase to a pro version? You can get into buyback challenges, and I understand that, but just to consider it as a third option.
Representative Mock, Mr. Chairman, members of the committees, basically we're again back to that same business where when we have turnover of terms in between election season for the next session, and what are the expectations of the leader members on what size do they want. Again, these are devices that we only, for the most part, serve out or push out to the members, so we aren't going to have a huge inventory of those to be able to swap things around. So I think that would be difficult. We would either have to have several more additional spares, or members will just have to be happy with what they get and what's left in stock. You're the new legislator. This is your choices.
Well, some of us were kind of around Representative Olson's desk, and why don't you take a minute, Chris, and go over there between the two senators and show them some of the things that you showed us about the recording and the taking of the notes and the hitting the bills at a certain spot and calling back would you take a couple of minutes and do it? Would you guys?
Mr. Chairman, I've seen some of that on our campus. We've got several folks that have these.
Okay.
I think the technology is great. But I go back to your comment originally about we're looking at the average legislator here. And I think the option for some legislators to buy this, to use it on their own, I don't see a problem with that. But given the administration and the service and the inventory, you know, I just think for the masses to look at what we've been doing would be a better option. There's probably 12 or 15 or maybe more legislators that want to go down the road that you have. There's nothing wrong with that, but again, $37,000 savings. We exercised some thought in saving some money on going with that particular model of laptop. I just think out of being consistent, we could get by with this smaller version. Now, maybe some disagree, but I think the features are nice, don't get me wrong.
I appreciate your comment on the savings, but remember that this is a 4-year period, and I really do think that in 4 years we're going to come back and not look at laptops anymore, and I think that gives you a really heads up on being able to work through the next session. So if we're done with discussion, should we take a vote and see how it goes? All right, would you call the roll, please?
And the motion again is to go with...
Right.
Representative Martinson?
Yes.
Mock?
No.
Olson?
Yes.
Striley?
Yes.
Thorson?
No.
Toman?
Yes.
Senator Eberle?
No.
Robinson?
No.
Mr. Chairman, do we need to get Senator Casper on the phone to break the tie, or...
If you can get him.
Well, we can do it right here.
You got his number, don't you?
Yeah.
This is point of order. Are we the decision-making body, or are we the recommending body?
Recommending.
Procedure and arrangement, which meets next week, or no, 2 weeks. We'll give the final approval.
Right. Does that mean you want to change your vote?
Senator Casper? Hello, Senator Casper, this is Kyle Forster from Legislative Council. Are you available to participate in a short discussion and then give your vote on motions?
How much time do I have here?
I'm guessing maybe we can get her done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to give you a little heads up, what the motion is the legislative, the members of the work group decided to go with the 15.6 inch laptop, the silver ones at the lower cost. And now there's a motion on the table where they're discussing the mobile iPads, and there's a motion to go with the iPad Pro versus the iPad, future iPad Air that hasn't been released yet. So you're looking at 12.9 inch device versus the 9.7 inch device.
Yep, I'm aware. Yep.
So the motion is to go with the iPad Pro.
Okay.
With a price difference.
There's a price difference of $250, total cost to the assembly $37,500.
Okay.
And we're under budget by how much?
And right now we're under budget by $138,000 by choosing the 15.6 inch silver option 2 laptops.
Okay. All right, just let me know when you need me to vote.
Right now.
Okay, well, I'll vote yes for that. I can vote for the iPad Pro.
Okay. Any other... Bob? Okay. So we need them to stay on the line. Okay, thank you. Well, motion.
Anything else for me?
Motion will carry at that point.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it. Bye.
I just want to make sure that everybody's comfortable with allowing Senator Casper to vote.
He was part of the...
Nobody has a problem with that?
I am a little bit too, very honest.
Well, I can assure you, I had no idea how he'd vote. All right, so then it will go to the Legislative Arrangements Committee.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, yes, we'll take the motions and the choice of option 2, the HP 850 and the iPad Pro to the Legislative Procedures and Arrangements Committee. They meet on March 8th. You're certainly all welcome to attend that if you want. They're the deciding body on this. I'm not sure what they'll come out of that.
I have a question that I was asked, not really asked, but we talked about it over lunch. And I think this came up once before, and you didn't think, or your group didn't think it was a good idea, but on docking stations, if you get them at a good rate in bulk or whatever, if legislators could purchase that from you, if people ordered one, or, but I think you didn't want to get into that a few years ago.
Yeah, and from what I recall, yes, in the past we weren't. It's the payment part of it that gets difficult, the money coming into the state, so it's hard to track that.
Okay, it goes out of one, but it doesn't go into the same pocket, all right. All right, anybody else have anything for the good of the order?
Well, Mr. Chairman, for Kyle and staff, as you prepare to bring this to the Legislative Procedures and Arrangements Committee next week, will you have more information on the true cost of the pro versus the air, any discounts that may be associated with either, along with accessories for cases? Will you have more details for them?
Representative Mock, yes, certainly we could. We can request a quote from our Apple authorized reseller so we know what that price is going to be. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do that for a future iPad Air. In regard to cases, normally our stance has been that we put a case on it that's going to protect it. And we already found one online, what was it, Cody? Like $35 or something like that? So we can get a fairly reasonable price, similar to that spec case that's on that iPad over there, which protects all the corners.
Okay.
And then after that, it would be up to the member to get keyboard cases and pens and all that stuff.
Mr. Chairman, since members of that committee won't have seen that presentation and probably have seen Representative Olson's iPad Pro, will you provide information, the keyboard, the pen, the pencil, and how much that would cost? So if an individual wanted to deck out their iPad Pro, what the individual member would likely pay to have those additional add-ons?
Yeah, we'll know that information. Also, it's our intent that we'll make sure that we have an iPad Pro to show LPA.
All right. Thank you very much, committee members. Meeting's adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.